Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in. So I hear you all had a great time last week, last Sunday. I wasn't here, and I was kind of envious as I watched on Facebook. I was with you in spirit, but not in body. We were driving back from West Virginia. Spent a weekend with my family, and looked like you all had a great time. And my wife is signaling me, kids, there are children here. Do you want me to dismiss them? Is that what you're saying, to go to kids' church? No, I don't think so. I don't know. What do you think? Do you kids, Melina, do you want to go to kids' church? You want to stay in here? No, you want to go? Okay. All right, kids, you're dismissed to go to kids' church. Hey, give our kids' ministers a hand clap. They do such an amazing job. Yeah. So last week, I asked Pastor Chris to bring the word and Eve to come and just share with us. They've been part of our meetings here for the last couple months, and it's been really rich. But what you don't know about this family is that they just have the most amazing call that's on their lives. They've been called into ministry many years ago and served over in Greensburg at Word of Life Church, which is the largest church, I believe, in the Westmoreland Fayette area. There might be a couple others that are close in Pittsburgh and whatnot, but Pastor Tom Walters is the senior leader there. Amazing, amazing people of God. And they had served in that capacity. And then God moved on them and said, listen, I want to challenge you. I want to take you to the next place and put on their hearts. While they were at Word of Life, literally they were driving the prophetic intercession, hearing God, presence of God movement that was occurring there at Word of Life. I attended one of their meetings at their home that was just, it's just amazing, and it was a beautiful thing for a season. But God said, okay, that season's coming to a close. Now I want to move you into the next season, the next challenge for your life. And how many of you know that God will always move you from glory to glory to glory, right? That's what the word says. But we think that means, you know, from glory to woohoo glory to woohoo 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 glory. It doesn't always feel that way. Because promotion is always preceded by great challenge and transformation. I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting. All right. The truth is that every time God wants to promote you, He has to change you. Because for you to embrace what God wants to do in this season, you've got to be different than you were in the last season. The exciting thing is that as you move, you increase in your effectiveness in the kingdom of God. But it requires inner transformation. Are you with me? The moment you come to Jesus, you are beginning the journey. You haven't finished the journey. Too many people, when they receive Jesus, that's it. I'm in heaven right now. I'm good. I got the paper. I got my insurance policy. I ain't going to burn. But how many of you know that that's just the beginning of your journey with Jesus? And there's a lot of challenges ahead. The beautiful thing is that He's always with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He always has the answer for your solution. But you've got to put your eyes on Him. These two have done that. And they have modeled that so wonderfully. I've had the privilege of being part of their lives, part of their ministry, and I've watched them when God called them out and said, hey, I want you to plant a church in Denver, Colorado. And talk about hard ground. Listen, I'm telling you, these two went and they had to deal with, you know, the spiritual principalities and powers that were overarching over that region, and they pierced darkness with the light of the gospel. They led people to Jesus. They formed a team. And then at the end of that season, God said, now I want you to move back. And they had to again undergo challenges and transformations. Here's what I want you to take away from what I'm telling you right now. They have always risen to the challenge. they have allowed God to transform them. They would say that they're in the transformational stage even as we speak. But God is moving them from glory to glory to glory. It is my true privilege. I don't say this just to sound good or to put a nice moniker before they come to speak. But I'm telling you, it is my privilege to know people like this and to be part of their lives and for them to share their life with me. My life, the life of City Church, the life of this region, the life of the body of Christ is so much richer because of people like this. Would you welcome right now Chris and Eve Toth?
Amen. Amen. So good to be with you guys today. It's a privilege and an honor. I'm going to allow my wife to greet you guys.
Hey, I just wanted to say that, do you realize what an honoring pastor you have?
Yes.
He's more than a pastor. He's prophetic. He's a lot of things. He has an oversight in this whole area and beyond, and you're partakers of that because you're here, and he always honors. He always honors, and that's just gold. So we love you, Pastor Brian, and we love you, City Church. We love what you carry. You don't realize how much you carry and how beautiful you are. And I know, guys, okay, you're beautiful too, all right? I know. You're beautiful too, you know, in Jesus. And don't forget that. I mean, he made you like him. So, you know, stand in your identity and who you are in Christ, not what's happening around you or challenges inside of you or around you. You know, today is the day that the Lord has made. So open up your heart, and, you know, it's up to you what you receive, a lot more than what we know. There's no limits. You know, Jesus came to send heaven to earth, and you're standing in it right now. It's inside of you. So here's my husband.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Once again, it's just a privilege and an honor for us to be with you this morning. How many of you came ready to receive from heaven this morning? Okay, that's like three of you. Let me go over here. How many of you came ready to receive from heaven this morning? Amen. Amen. Well, you're in the right place. Heaven is here, and Holy Spirit is going to have his way today, and he's going to release some things for us today. How many of you know that's a good thing? That's a good place to be. Amen. Hey, could I have someone bring that table down? You're going to... Okay. Do I have to stay up there? Okay. Okay. Are you sure? Okay. All right. I move around a lot, and I'm just concerned I'll fall off of this platform. You guys are just so far away now. But, hey, first thing I want to do is I want to give you guys something. I brought you a little gift today. I'm going to have Pastor Brian help me with this. Just make sure everybody gets one of those. There's enough in there for everybody to have one. And that's just a small collection of scriptures on prosperity there. We put these things together on different topics. That one happens to be on prosperity. We have some on healing and other topics. And how many of you know the most valuable gift that I have to give to you is the Word of God? The Bible says the sower sows the seed, but it's that seed that brings increase in our lives. Just as Jessica shared this morning, it's important for us to spend time in that word and allow that word to have its transformative process in our lives. And so as they're handing that out, I'll just go over one of these. On the back, there's one which is one of my favorites here. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." Does that sound good? Yeah. And I know some of you see things like that in the Bible and you think, "Pastor Chris, I don't know if I can receive that." Understand this, I didn't write that. That's not my idea. Those aren't my thoughts. Those are his thoughts. Those are his ideas. Those are his intentions. Amen? And how many of you know this book, this book that we call the Bible, is not simply a book of nice thoughts? It's not a history book, although where it contains history, it's 100% accurate. It's not a science book, but where it contains science, it is 100% accurate. It's not a legal book, but where it contains legal precedents, it is 100% accurate. Amen? It's actually a book. It's actually a spiritual book, because your spiritual father penned these words. He actually gave these words to men who wrote them down on paper. And how many of you know that words are containers that transfer things, transmit things, and he has deposited himself in these words. And then as we take these words and get these words on the inside of us, he is released in a greater dimension on the inside of us. If I say the word dog to you, you don't see on the inside of you D-O-G. You see the picture of a dog. If I say big, black, fuzzy dog, that makes the picture even more descript, doesn't it? So words convey things. They contain things. And these words contain his thoughts. These words contain his heart. These words contain his desires for you and his desires for this entire planet. Let me share just one small portion here with you. 2 Peter chapter 1, this is not part of our message today, but this will just help you with what we're talking about here now. Listen to this, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How many of you would like to have grace and peace multiplied to you? Okay, well, where would we go to find? It says here that the grace and peace is multiplied to us through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Where would one go to find the knowledge of God and the knowledge of Jesus our Lord? We would go to this book, wouldn't we? And this book says that when we do that, what happens is grace and peace are multiplied to us. And verse 3 says, as his divine power, everybody say divine power. As his divine power has given to us all things, say all things that pertain to life and godliness through this knowledge, or through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature. God wants you to be a partaker of his nature. He's deposited his nature into that word, and when we get that word on the inside of us, there's a release of his nature in us, and we become more like him. We're transformed in the process. Amen? Amen. How many of you think that's a pretty good deal? Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to receive that here this morning. Let's go ahead and do this. Stand to your feet for just a second, and let me just lead you in this little exercise. You know, when we receive things, sometimes we have to do a little fine-tuning on the inside of us. It's as if we have a radio receiver on the inside that has to be fine-tuned just a little bit. How many of you remember the old days of, you know, analog radio? And sometimes, you know, the receiver would drift off ever so slightly from your favorite station, and you would have to take that knob and you would have to turn it just a little bit to fine-tune that so that you could continue to receive what was being broadcast. How many of you, I know Pastor Brian, he says he's too young for that, he doesn't remember that, but let me help you here this morning. I'm not too young for that, and I do remember it. How many of you know the problem was never on the transmitting end? The transmitter was broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and the problem was not on that end. The problem was always on the receiving end, wasn't it? And so what we have to do to prepare our hearts to receive is sometimes we have to reach on the inside of us and grab that knob and tweak it ever so slightly so that what's being broadcast can now come through loud and clear. Amen? So let me help you with that. Just put your hand on your heart this morning and just repeat after me. My heart is open to receive the ever-living, never-changing, Word of God. That word is healing my body. It's renewing my mind. It's giving me insight. It's giving me understanding. It's giving me clarity. It's giving me light. That light is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will not stumble because he's illuminating my way. And I receive it now in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a praise offering here this morning. Amen. Amen. All right. Wow. Wow. So how many of you know we have to do that from time to time? Even during this service, you may have to do that multiple times throughout this service. Just tweak that receiver ever so slightly so that you're able to receive everything that the Lord has for us here this morning. When the Lord gave me this message, and actually this message is something that I've been living out for the past several months now, but when I initially received this message, I thought it would be called Strengthen Yourself in the Lord, because we're going to be talking about that here this morning. But then the Lord told me, no, let's call it this, a better version of you. How many of you know that he's making a better version of you? You are in process, I'm in process, we're in process, and the process is meant to create a better version of ourselves. The version that we were yesterday is not as good as the version we're going to be tomorrow. And the version that we are tomorrow is not as good as the version we're going to be a year from now. Because how many of you know the Bible says that we're the clay, he's the potter, he's the one doing the molding and the shaping, but that's uncomfortable for the clay at times. Because what happens in that process is sometimes the potter says, nah, I'm going to pinch a lump off right here. That's not always comfortable. And sometimes he starts pushing in areas that we don't feel, hey, that's a little uncomfortable. Why'd you have to push right there, you know? Why'd you have to mold and shape in this way? But the key for all of us is that we stay on the wheel. You know, if you jump off the wheel, you're not in the transformative process any longer. The key for you and me, the key for each of us, is that we stay on the wheel, that we stay in the process, and we allow the potter to do the molding and the shaping and to do the creative work that he's doing on the inside of each one of us. Amen? Amen. How many of you know the last 3 years on planet Earth was a different season? Yeah. Now, in some parts of the church, in some parts of the world, was used to some form of regular hardship, but I don't think the American church knew what hardship was until about 3 years ago. And it was a wake-up call for some of us. Amen? And I believe that if we're honest with ourselves, we can all look back at our lives over the past 3 years, and we can identify areas, and we can say, you know what, in this particular area, I did okay. In this particular area, I did pretty well. But I think if we're honest, we can all identify those areas where we can say, you know what, I didn't do so great in that area. And I think one of the things that the Lord is saying to us in this season and in this hour is, this is the hour and the season to take an account of what happened previously and identify those areas where we need strengthened and begin the process of strengthening ourselves. And we're going to talk about that today. The things that I personally endured over the past 3 years required a level of internal strength that, to be honest with you, in some areas I didn't have it. A level of emotional strength, a level of resilience, the ability to bounce back from difficult situations. In myself, there were some areas that weren't as strong as what they needed to be. And so in this particular season, it's a time to identify those areas and to begin to strengthen ourselves in those areas. As Pastor shared this morning, we're on the verge of the greatest outpouring that the earth has ever seen. Some call it here in the U.S. a third great awakening. But it's bigger than the U.S. It's worldwide. It's global. I personally believe it's a harvest like the earth has never seen. It's an outpouring like the earth has never seen, precipitating the great end time harvest of souls. How many of you know there's people outside these four walls that need to hear about Jesus? There's people outside these four walls that are open to hear about Jesus in a way in which they were never open before, because they see what's going on in the world. They know that there's been a shift in the seasons, and they know that today is nothing like it was 3 years ago. All they have to do is look at the news. There's wars and rumors of wars. There's Chinese spy balloons floating over their nation. There's all kinds of these things that are creating turmoil on the inside of them, and they're worried, they're fearful, they're full of angst. They don't have answers, but the good news is you and I have answers. We know the answer. Jesus is the answer for whatever it is they're going through. He's the answer. Amen? So now's the time. I love that testimony that Pastor shared 2 weeks ago. How many of you were here 2 weeks ago? And Pastor Brian shared the testimony of Conlon, who wanted to take his basketball playing to the next level. You know, it took a couple things on Conlon's part. Number one, it took him realizing that, wait a second, I have a few deficiencies here. And it took another thing on his part, and that is, I want to work on those deficiencies, and I want to put myself with other people who can help me get stronger in the areas where I'm not as strong as I know I need to be. And that's the season that we're in now. Identifying the areas where maybe we had a few deficiencies over the past 3 years and strengthening ourselves in the Lord, realizing that He's the one that's going to strengthen us when we put ourselves in front of Him, when we put ourselves into that place where He can continue the molding and the shaping process and bringing us into the, transforming us into the people that He wants us to be. Amen? So I want to share with you a little bit about that this morning, and I'm going to paraphrase some of this because we don't have time to read everything that we need to read this morning. We're going to cover several chapters out of 1 Samuel, but we're going to look at the life of David, and we're going to talk about some of the things that David endured and some of the hardships that David endured and what David did to strengthen himself through those difficult seasons. And, you know, in the tail end of 1 Samuel chapter 21, the Bible says this, that David is out there in the wilderness. He's running from Saul. Saul is trying to hunt David down and kill him. Now, David, David received the prophetic word. You remember, Samuel came and anointed David, said, you're going to be the next king of Israel. And then David spends the next 15 years running for his life in the wilderness at the hands of a madman who wants to kill him. Now, is this a prophetic house here? Yes, okay. So you're going to understand this. How many of you know from the time you receive the prophetic word to the time you see the fulfillment of it, there's some stretch of time in there involved? That's where we have to hold on to the word by faith, and that's where there may be a few hardships in that time period that we must endure. Do you understand that? Think back to Joseph. How many of you remember the story of Joseph? Joseph has the prophetic dream. In the dream, he sees these sheaves of wheat bowing down to his sheaf. And he goes to his brothers and he says, brothers, I had this most amazing prophetic dream last night. You guys are not going to believe it. This is amazing. And in the dream, I saw these sheaves, and they all bowed down to my sheaf. And I know those sheaves represent you, and it means that you're all going to bow down to me. How many of you know that it didn't quite have the same impact on the brothers as what it had on Joseph? The brothers weren't as thrilled about the dream as what Joseph was. And it precipitated this series of events where Joseph is sold into slavery. He gets taken to Egypt. He gets accused of rape by Potiphar's wife. He gets thrown into the prison. And I'm sure Joseph is scratching his head thinking, I don't remember any of this in the dream. All I remember was the dream said the sheaves are going to bow down to me, and that isn't happening. I don't remember any of this hardship in the dream. How many of you know the prophetic word doesn't always contain every single step that you're going to take from, to get from point A to point B. Sometimes the prophetic word is very wonderful. Sometimes if you receive it from Charlie Coker, it's very colorful. But it's not always the complete picture. It's generally enough to get you started and get you pointed in the right direction, but there are steps along the way that you're going to have to go through. There are steps along the way that you're going to have to work through. There are steps along the way where you're going to have to strengthen yourself in the Lord and say, I know this is what he said. I'm not going to give up on it, and I'm going to hold on to this because I know this is the promise that God has given to me. And so David finds himself in one of those situations. He's out here in the wilderness. Saul's trying to kill him. Saul's chasing him all through the wilderness. David goes from hideout to hideout, from cave to cave, just trying to preserve his own life. Bible scholars tell us that it's a period of time of about 15 years that he's out there doing this, from the time he's anointed king to the time he actually sits on the throne. And I'm sure there were difficult times where David's scratching his head saying, I don't remember any of this in the prophetic word. But David had to strengthen himself in the Lord. And in the latter part of 1 Samuel chapter 21, what we see happening is David thinks, wait a second, Saul's trying to kill me. Saul's also at war with the Philistines. I know, I'm going to go to the Philistines and I'm going to make a pact with them, and maybe there'll be some peace, maybe there'll be some protection involved in that. And so David makes his way to King Achish, and just as he's getting ready to unveil his plan, King Achish wakes up one morning, and he hears this song playing on the radio. It's a top 10 song, and it goes something like this. Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. And when King Achish hears that song, that top 10 hit playing on the radio, he begins to think, wait a second. That's the song they wrote about this guy here. This is the guy who the song's about. And so David gets wind that Achish actually knows who he is, and David begins to think, oh no, he's going to turn me into Saul. He's going to hold me captive and give me over to Saul. And so when David hears about that, he's like, oh no, I've got to get out of here. I know, I'll act like a crazy person. And the Bible says that David begins to act crazy and begins to drool all over himself. Now, I know you never realized this, and you never thought that one of the prerequisites of being a pastor is your ability to drool upon yourself. Now, you would never know that by looking at Pastor Brian. You would probably know that by looking at me. But one of the great prerequisites of being a pastor is one's ability to drool on himself. And so David drools on himself. King Achish looks at him and says, why did you bring this crazy person to me? Do I look like I need more crazy people around me? Get this guy out of here. Send him away. So David is released. And when David is released, he runs into a group of men. And we are going to look at a scripture here. 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 2. Listen to what the word says. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down to him, and everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. So picture this. Here's the drooling David. He's probably still got some saliva on his face. These 400 men come to him. The Bible says they're in distress. They're in debt, and they're discontented. The word discontented there means bitter. And they look at David, and they said, hey, why don't you be our pastor? We can plant a church here. How many of you know 400 societal rejects and one drooling guy, and they're going to make a church plant? looks like a couple church plants that I've seen. But David takes on the challenge and begins to work with these guys. And the Bible says 8 chapters later that he's grown the group from 400 to now 600. He's ministering to them. He's taken the ones that nobody else wants. How many of you know Jesus compels us? Go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. There are people outside these four walls that society has rejected. There's people outside these four walls that are outcasts, that have been told you'll never amount to anything. But how many of you know it's incumbent upon me and it's incumbent upon you to reach out to those individuals? Because God has another plan for them. He's got a bigger plan for them. There are no rejects in heaven. Amen? And that's the message that we get to carry. That's the message that we have the privilege of carrying. How many of you know that difficult times serve to make you bitter or to make you better? Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not getting bitter, I'm getting better. I'm not getting bitter, I'm getting better. Yes. And here's the part that I want you to see here this morning. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 30, listen to this. I think they have this one on the screen. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag. How many of you know Ziklag was David's town? It was his hangout. It was his place where he and his men operated from. It was their home base, if you will. And it was from this town of Ziklag that they would go out and they would do raids against the Amalekites and so on and so forth. And so this is David's course of life. He's got his town, he's got his people set up there. Their wives are there. Their kids are there. And listen to this. On the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south of Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there. From small to great, they did not kill anyone, but they carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. How many of you know that's some kind of weeping? When you weep till you have no more power to weep, that's some powerful stuff right there. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Look at verse 6. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Sometimes in these difficult situations, there's not going to be anyone around you to strengthen you. Sometimes in these difficult situations, it's going to be incumbent upon you and it's going to be incumbent upon me to know how to get before the Lord and strengthen ourselves. There are times when people come around us and people help and people strengthen. That's great and that's wonderful, but that's not every time. There are some difficult situations where there has to be something built on the inside of us that was built during good times that will carry us through bad times. There has to be an internal strength. There has to be an ability to recover and bounce back that only comes from the Lord. And even when there's 600 crazy men that want to kill you, want to stone you, there are times when we can get away with just you and God, and he will strengthen you, and he will fortify you, and he will put something on the inside of you that can see you through that difficult time. Amen? And that's where we are as a church. And I'm talking about the church world in general, the church at large. We've come through this difficult season, and this is the time for us to strengthen ourselves because of what's on the horizon is going to require a strength and a fortitude in each and every one of us that we may not have had in the past. And I'm not talking about doom and gloom. I'm just saying there's a task at hand that God is calling us to that's going to require us to have a strength that we did not have in the past. The strength for today and the strength for tomorrow is different than the strength that was required in the past. But only He can provide that. But it requires us setting ourselves apart, setting ourselves aside, getting before Him and allowing Him to pour into us the things that we need in this day and this hour. Amen? So we're going to look at some ways in which we do that here. I'm going to give you three things really quick. Three keys to strengthening yourself in the Lord. Number one, first and foremost, learn to find Him in the secret place. Number one, it's called the secret place not because God can't be found, it's because you have to go there alone. The secret place between you and God is not a family affair. I mean, it's a family affair as far as the family of heaven is concerned, but you're not going to take other human beings with you. There has to be this foundational place in each and every one of our lives where it's just me and Him. I know I can meet with Him, and I know I can receive what I need in this season, in this day, in this hour. It's the secret place. It's where He provides what only He can provide. It's where He does what only He can do. But it requires us consecrating that time, setting that time aside, and us stepping into that place. The second step to strengthening ourselves, praying in the Spirit. Listen to this, Jude chapter 1, verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up. How many of you know building yourself up is a form of strengthening yourself? Building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:14 that when we pray in tongues, we pray in the Spirit. I've talked with some people and they're like, but Pastor Chris, I pray in English and I know the Spirit is leading me and guiding me. That's great and that's wonderful. We should all strive for that. We should all desire that and want that. That's not what Paul calls praying in the Spirit. He calls praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. Why is that? Because praying in tongues builds you up on your most holy faith. Faith is a foundation, but you and I must be built on that foundation. Amen? If you're going to build a house, if you're going to build a building, you're going to lay a foundation, but everything else then is built on that foundation. Amen? Praying in tongues and praying in the Spirit builds us up on that most holy faith. And step number three to strengthening yourself in the Lord is tap into the joy. How many of you know that joy is a major spiritual force? The Bible says it is so major, it is so important that it says in Nehemiah 8:10 that the joy of the Lord is actually your strength. Learning to find that place. And folks, let me tell you, and I have no means have I mastered any of these things. But I'm sharing with you out of my own heart and my own experience. When you find yourself in some of these difficult situations, sometimes the last thing I felt like doing was being joyful. But there comes that point where we must be able to flip that switch and say, even though I don't see any reason in the natural to be joyful, I'm not going to look into the natural, but I'm going to look into heaven, and I'm going to see what's going on there, and I'm going to model it here. How many of you know there's no sadness in heaven? There's no distress in heaven. There's no debt in heaven. There's no discontentment in heaven. And so we've got to learn to look into that heavenly realm and tap into the joy that is available to us from that realm and place a demand or a pull, if you will, on that and bring it here. How many of you know it's here, it's in this here and now that we need the resources of heaven being displayed? It's here in the here and now that we must be a people that can tap into heavenly resources and bring those resources into this realm in the here and now. We call that revival. We call that outpouring. I like to call it normal Christianity. Amen? Normal Christianity. But he has everything that we need. He has the resources available to us. And Pastor Brian gave me strict instructions to not keep you guys over time. I've made a solemn vow to him to have you out by 2:30, so we're not going to keep you over. But here's what I want to do. Not only in learning to strengthen ourselves, I feel like in this past season, that we, most of us, I would venture to say probably all of us, have felt or suffered some form of loss in this last season. You may know of individuals that maybe passed away from the virus. You may have family members that used to come to your house at family gatherings that, for whatever reason, they no longer come to your house for family gatherings. Maybe you didn't wear the mask enough for them, or maybe you wore the mask too much for them. Maybe you didn't vote for their guy, or maybe they didn't vote for your guy. But I believe that just as in the story that we read about David's life, we didn't actually read it, but if you read a little bit further, it says that David sought the Lord and said, should I go after those people and try to recover everything that we lost? And the Lord told him, yes, go after him and recover what was lost. And I feel like one of the things that the Lord is saying is, yes, this is a season to strengthen ourselves. This is a season to realize where we were strong and maybe where we weren't so strong. But it's also a season to go after that which was lost. And not only a season to go after that which was lost, but a season to go after the lost. The Bible says that David went after all that was taken at Ziklag and recovered it all. All the wives, all the children, all the spoils, everything that was taken, David was able to recover. And I think, I just believe in my spirit that there's people in this room that have suffered loss in relationships. Maybe you suffered financial loss for whatever reason over the past 3 years. Maybe you've suffered just the fact that maybe there's people that used to sit at your dinner table that don't sit at your dinner table any longer. And I feel like one of the things that the Lord is saying is this is a season to recover the lost. This is a season to recover the lost. Does that resonate with anybody's heart here today? Let's do this. Let's have everybody stand to our feet. I'm going to invite the ministry team to come forward. And I'm going to invite Kevin to come up here and just play something on the piano real soft. And I just want to invite you guys here this morning. If you feel that sense of loss in your heart, whether it's relational, financial, it doesn't really matter what the loss is. And you're like, Pastor Chris, what you've spoken this morning has resonated with me. I want to step into that place. I want to be stronger moving forward, but I also want the recovery of all that was lost. I want to invite you to come forward here this morning, and these folks are going to pray for you. They're going to pray with you because I believe that this is a season to tap in to the goodness of God, to tap into that grace of God, to tap into the righteous judgments of God, where things that were stolen can be recovered. Things that were taken that weren't right to be lost. Relationships, children, spouses, whatever those relational components look like for you, I want to invite you to come forward, and these folks are going to pray for you here this morning. Because I believe that one of the things that the Lord wants to do here this morning is to bring that restoration. He wants to bring that healing into our hearts so that we can be stronger moving forward, so that we can be whole. And I feel like that's the key word, wholeness. The Lord wants to bring wholeness on the inside of each and every one of us. Does that resonate with anybody this morning? Just go ahead and make your way out of your seats and come forward. These people are going to pray for you. They're going to minister for you or to you. The Spirit of God is here. He's the one that makes all things right. He's the one that makes all things new. So I just want to invite you to come forward. These individuals are going to help you here this morning.
Yeah, so listen, so just if in any way you feel that there's a part of you that needs to be restored, to be made whole. You know, the word salvation, that's what Jesus is to us. He is our salvation. But that word salvation, the word sozo, literally means to be made whole. You see, because that's what sin does to us. When we're separated from God, it removes a portion of who we really are, who we're meant to be, who He designed us to be. And God wants to restore that. And so if you need to recapture something that's been lost in the last several years, if there's in any way that you don't feel whole, then when I dismiss you all, then just make your way up and have one of these people pray for you, okay? Does that make sense? Wave your hand at me if that makes sense. Okay, all right. So let me send you out with a blessing. Just if you would, just close your eyes, and if you can, lift your hands up to the Lord. Father, bless them. Keep them. Make your face to shine on them. Lift up your countenance on them now. Father, you are here right now, full of your love, full of your power to make us whole again. And if there's anyone here, move on them now to come and be made whole. In the mighty name of Jesus. City Church, go and be blessed. I'll see you next week. Come, be ministered to.
Thanks so much for listening to the City Church Podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church. And you can find an easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higbee. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.